There can be no perfect action where there is a sense of separation. Where there is a sense of separation, it cannot be the expression of unity. It cannot be the expression of infinity. It is the whole that is working. The whole is active.
Infinity must be everywhere, otherwise there could be no infinity whatsoever.
Therefore, when I said to you the other night, God to me, life, is not some abstract being away in some remote part that we may call heaven or whatever the case may be. And it is not someone that I'll reach tomorrow or sometime hence, and only when I pass out of the physical body. God to me is a livingness that is alive now everywhere. That livingness is in me, therefore he is not remote, he is not apart, nor is he in any way distant, because he is nearer than hands or feet, he is nearer than the breath of man. That's the livingness that we know to be infinite. But you find that after you have discerned all your formulations and your beliefs. You must discern what your beliefs are and how they come about. And you must discern how you are reacting and why you are reacting. You react to protect your conditioning. That's all you do. You react to protect your ignorance. You don't react to protect the truth. So I would say to anyone who belongs to a certain faith, I said, to hell with the Pope. They would react immediately, and that reaction would be very strong, but they would not realize why they react. If they could not discern why they react, they were still caught up in the conditioning. They were still caught up in separation. They were reacting to protect the conditioning, reacting to protect the dignity. So reaction is always a protection to your conditioning. And unless you realize this, you will never be free from that conditioning. You must discern it. And it's when you have discerned all your conditioning, your formulations, and how these conditions have come about, how they've been built up in your mind through generations past, through conditioning of your childhood and so forth, through your imitations on imitating another person. Unless you discern that, you will never know how you're conditioned. Therefore, you are reacting to protect your conditioning. You're reacting to protect your ignorance. But it doesn't matter at all whether it is true or not. The only reality is this infinite living being that exists in every person and every soul, and it is everywhere, and there is nowhere where he is not. But if that is only a belief to you, you're just the same way as the belief of another individual who believes in a certain religion. Now, when you have got all these different religions, you believe them to be true. I have just received an invitation to address the conference in Japan of all the religious bodies throughout the world. They are going to have a conference, and I've been singled out as the one to address them. Well, what would I address them about? The very thing I'd address them about is the irreligious part of the religion. I have to show them that all the different forms of religion are all made up in the mind, and the only reality is the livingness within each and every one. I have to show them completely how they couldn't arrive at the truth. All the ways they've been trying to arrive at the truth, they never will arrive at the truth. Or my address would be, how you cannot arrive at the truth. You cannot arrive at truth through any organized religion, that's a certainty. You cannot arrive at truth through anything external to yourself, that is a certainty. You can only arrive at the truth when you know all the things that are not true, then you will arrive at the truth. You realize at the living truth, that living truth that is alive now and is ever present and is eternal and is that livingness, that consciousness in man. Unless man becomes aware of that, he will never arrive at the truth, because he'll be at variance with his brother through different forms of beliefs, through different nationalities, through different ideologies. He'll be at variance with his brother. Therefore, there can be no unity, there can be no oneness, there can be no wholeness, because there will just be separation. And when there is this separation, no matter how it comes about, if you look into your own mind, you will see it comes about through your own acceptance, your own formulations, your beliefs. It comes into your mind through imitation, through acceptance, and through belief. Because you have not discerned how it has come about, you are caught up in it, and therefore there is no release, and therefore you will never find that which brings men together as one complete brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. No matter how you think, now I'm telling you, no matter how you feel about your particular beliefs, you must discern them clearly. You must look into your mind with undeniable honesty and therefore see them clearly, your own formulations and how those beliefs have come about. The mind must be freed from all that material so that you will come to that point where life itself is laid bare before the conscience. And that life being everywhere and indivisible is the same in every living being. That is God. That is truly religion, the perfect foundation of the word religion. But to follow a particular group, to actually be caught up in these particular separated groups, where you see one person worshipping God, while you worshipping God are antagonistic to the other person who is also worshipping the same God in a different way. When that exists in the mind of the individual, there can be no unity. There can be no brotherly love. If you look into your own mind, you will see how true that is. The division is in your minds. It is not in reality. My teaching is not my own, but him who sent me. John 5:16. The present is the only time there is. I've often spoken to you about this. But I know the great significance of this truth has not fully dawned upon you. Starting from the beginning, all know that there is but one God. And there is none other beside him. That is the beginning of the whole story and the ending of it too. There is no other being, no other force. There is but one being, and this being must be our being, because there can be none other. I'm reasoning now with you. I'm using divine reason as a means of lifting you out of your conditioning But remember, divine reasoning, even how far it may go, will never reveal the truth, because the mind must cease to reason. The mind must cease to think. And at that time, when the mind begins to cease thinking and reasoning, then truth is revealed. Because truth is not in the mind, and you cannot reason it out. You can reason divinely to a point where you can go beyond the mind, but to keep on reasoning, you will still be in the mind. And you will notice that you are formulating certain precepts, and these are human precepts. There is no truth in a human precept. There is only truth in the livingness, the God that is alive and living, and not the dead God. So it must be, for there can be no other being, God being infinite. If there is but one being, then we are that being. Therefore, that being must be you and me, for there is only one. And there cannot be separation in that one. If you are troubled with the past or have fears for the future, you are not being now. I'll repeat that again because it's most important. If you are troubled with the past or have fears for the future, you are not being now. Being exists only in the present. You cannot think in the past or the future. You can think about the past and think about the future. But is this not conditioned thinking? For the past and the future can only be in the mind. It cannot be anywhere else, because only the presence exists, and there is no other time. The presence is the only time. There is no other reality. There's no other real time but the timeless, that is which is present. If you look into your own mind, you will see how you have come to bring the past and the future, how you have built it up in your own mind. Then if you live in the past and the future, how can you live in the actually present now, when the present is the only time? Pure thinking is creating in the present, not thinking about the past or the future. Some people are always harping about the if. It had been this or that, things would be different now. It is this if of the past that is preventing the present from being what it should be in your life. Don't you see you're blotting out the living present? The present is a living thing, it's not a dead thing. It is not an idea of the past or the future. The present is a living, creating force, and it's eternal and ever-present. That was, I say, infinity to me is not something in the future or in the past, but a living expression at this very moment. You cannot call the infinite good in the sense that there is evil. Good and evil cannot exist as opposing each other. They exist as opposites only in the mind. The idea of good, and we struggle with evil all the time, but you will see that evil was created in man's own mind. Evil is a product of man's mind, living in separation, living in greed, living in craving, living away from the living present, because anyone who is evil cannot live in the living present. They're either living in the past or the future, and they're caught up in opposites. So evil was a creation in man's own mind and not the creation of infinity. Because if God is infinite in nature, there is no room for the devil in God. But the self of man is the devil, and hell is the mess that the self makes in the life of man himself. There is no such thing as a negative power which is not of the all-originating power. The negative power does not oppose the all-originating power, but is a complement of it, just as the North Pole and the South Pole are interrelated to one another to create attraction. One force creates both. It is the same in the atom, the electron, the proton, and so forth. So you see, there is a creative force in the universe, but it is not separated from the creative power in man. Man's creative power is none other than the creative power of the whole universe, because there can only be one creative power and one creator. Similarly, life is a higher form of action. All energy is the same mode of manifestation of the One. All energy must exist from the One Source. It is always making something, and in so doing, it may unmake something else. What is known as negative force is the operation of the cosmic law of transition from one form to another. When we understand this, we see within ourselves the same law in operation. When there is a building process in nature, there is always a tearing down of something else in nature. But that is change. People look upon this change as death. Things are dead. But if you investigate that apparent dead thing, you will see it much more active than the thing that seems to be alive, because it is disintegrating. The atoms are beginning to separate from one another, and are beginning to form new combinations, and these new combinations are going to build up something else in nature. There is not one dead particle in the whole of the living universe. Science will prove that to you, because there cannot be a dead atom, there cannot be a dead proton, there cannot be a dead nucleus. Therefore, there can be nothing dead in the universe but a change from one particular atomic form to another atomic form. That one group of atoms are making up something else, and in doing so is changing over from one group to another. That is exactly what's taking place in the whole of the universe and in your body at the same time. This process is going on eternally. In the ordinary sense, in the mind of man, good is that which gives pleasure. Bad is that which gives pain, whether outwardly or inwardly, whether inside or outside the skin. That is a fact, is it not? Pleasure is what we want, so obviously we call it good. What you do not want, you call bad. Don't let us fool ourselves and spin a lot of words about good and evil, or God and the devil. If God is, the devil cannot be. Therefore, it is the non-existence of the devil that makes up the devil. God being infinite in nature, there can be none other than He. So it is said clearly in the beginning, and you cannot be confused, because you must look to the beginning to see the ending. Starting from the beginning, there is but one God, and there is none other beside him. When you have set your mind and you see how these ideas have crept in, those beliefs have crept in, you will discard them. But you must go further than that. You must still go further and dissolve all the formulations in your mind until such time as your mind is completely emptied of all formulations, at least you know what they are. You arrive at a time, you arrive at that silence where you become aware of the real, aware of that which is alive and living in every living soul. And it can't be a self that is divided, but a self that exists in every other self. The whole must be seen and the whole must be experienced. And then that experience, after the mind has been cleansed of all its formulations, there is a complete awareness, and in that awareness there is no good nor evil. There is just affection and love. It cannot be anything else, but you'll experience it. There is a feeling that comes then at that time that you love the whole world, no matter what it is, and everything in the world you could take up in your arms as infinity does, and you could be as infinity, and in that way nothing could harm you in any way whatsoever. Experience is essential to your freedom. Through experience you begin to realize what is behind the individual. Without experience you would be dormant, asleep in your limitation. Yet experience without discernment and continual adjustment in the present is but a repetition of error, which brings frustration and misery. But through continual adjustment, through experience and understanding, there is freedom. We say we do not want war, but we encourage all that breeds war. Being conditioned, we create a society after our own likeness. And having created such a society, it turns and exploits us. So it is again the vicious circle, is it not? Why? Because you have not yet understood your own minds, your desires. You have not yet understood your own formulations, your beliefs. You have not understood your cravings. So when you crave, what do? You encourage all that breeds war. You believe in certain nationality. You believe in certain political groups. You believe in certain religions. You believe in all that is separation itself. You breed dissension. You breed the very thing that leads to war. There can only be a sane society when we ourselves are sane. And this goes for all governments and councils, national and international. For we see the same state of affairs in international and national as we do see in ourselves. Unless we can see this in ourselves, there is no use talking about that which is separated in things external to ourselves. In ourselves we have to begin first. That is the beginning, and not outside ourselves. You may laugh, but we are insane. For we are not clear-thinking human beings. So a clear thinking human being is the only sane person. But show me one. We are unbalanced, therefore our society is unbalanced. The whole world is caught up in the apparent catastrophe of antagonism and conflict that leads to war and destruction, and we are the cause. The cause is not outside ourselves. Don't think there. The cause is within us, and that is the devil. And hell is the mess we make of it. A sane person does not want to break it up. He does not come in and break up a fight. He sees the cause of antagonism and conflict and begins to dissolve it, first in himself. Not until he dissolves it in himself can he help others to do so. So unless you see the cause of conflict and antagonism within yourself, how can you expect to guide others to see it in them? To say it is my country and I must protect it is not finding the cause but adding to the conflict. So therefore we have to search in our minds to see the cause of this conflict. What the matter with that is that we are caught up in imitation. We wave flags, we listen to speeches which have no real understanding in them. We just become stimulated through imitation which has all the indications of insanity. So you see, it is the waving of flags, the beating of the drum, the brass bands, and the speeches, and all the things about the heroes that starts the desire for war. You may think that I am pacifist, I'm nothing of the sort. I come with the sword that has a double edge. That's what I have come with. I come with the sword to pierce the mind, to see clearly what the mind is made up of. And it is perfectly clear and true that if you murder a murderer, you are a murderer, are you not? You can't escape it, because it says, thou shalt not kill. But here we have the contradiction in the mind. You see how stupid it is, the conflict in the mind. We build airplanes to carry the biggest bombs as possible to build. We build new guns that have a greater firing power. We build ships that will carry the biggest guns possible that will wipe out towns anywhere from a matter of 50 miles away. Why do we do this? To protect our own conditioning, because we have conditioned ourselves by some sort of idealism, some sort of nationality, some sort of formulation in the mind that we have created. So everyone becomes one complete item in that idea, and therefore you kill. But you are a murderer. You cannot get escape effect. You are murderer. When I was in the First World War, I was in the field, nearly always in the forward dressing stations. And there I saw not only our own soldiers, but I went out, yes, under shot and shell, and bandaged up the wounded enemy. And there I saw young lads, not more than 17 or 18, and I looked at the innocent faces they had, and I said to myself, some mother's son. What a tragedy. Now what we do, don't we? We kill people we've never seen before. We're not killing him in the heat of an argument or in heat of anger. We're killing in cold blood. The sniper gets up on his sniping board, and he delights in getting his telescopic sight on this person's head, and he draws the trigger, and the bullet flies, and he watches the result, and he sees this man drop dead. But you've given medals for that. You've praised to the skies for that. The other people are doing the same. But no one sees the stupidity of it. Neither side sees the stupidity of it. But suppose you went down the street there and you did the same thing. You were taught how to shoot. And you shot a person. You'd be hanged for it in a very short time. So the whole thing is a stupid contradiction. Why? Because you will not discern in your minds what is made up in your mind, how you are conditioned, how you are imitator, and all the things that build up in your mind the tragedy of the human life. Go back in your own religion, you were burnt at the stake if you didn't believe in a certain way. Even now, if it wasn't for the law, people would be killing themselves because they belonged to this separate religion. When I was in Glasgow just recently, there were two bands coming down the street. One was coming up and the other was coming down. And there were two different denominations. One was the Catholics and the other was the Orangemen. Two religious organizations leading bands down the street. But when the bands became cross to one another, there was something spoken, and the others heard about it. Before you knew where they were all at each other's throats. So I had the police to keep them separated. And here with two religious organizations, and here you have this battle. But don't you think it's dreadful? Don't you see how people are conditioned? How can we expect a sane society when we are not fully awake? When we are half alert and unbalanced? If we are in confusion, do we not create a society that is confused? Many people rebel against past experience. They fight, they struggle, and become emotionally upset. This is the way to frustrate the present. So they become confused. If you are not confused, you are tranquil, and you will not wait for another to tell you what to do. You will immediately dissolve the cause within yourself. When we are confused in mind, we are confused in body. Most of our illnesses come from confusion of the mind in one way or another. The body is but the mind materialized. We concentrate upon our ideas through fear, and by doing so we condense them into concrete form which we see upon the physical body. There is no getting away from it. It's a truth. And it is necessary that you discern it straight away. When we succumb to conditioning, we call the result bad or evil. So we create further conditioning and fail to see the good. We create opposites within ourselves through misunderstanding the oneness of the spirit in its complete expression. When we understand the cause of our condition, it dissolves away, and immediately we are free of opposites. Now, when you are living in opposites, you are living in confusion. All the time you are living in your mind, are you not? In opposites. You're living in one thing, health, in and out in hell. The fact is that you have an idea of health and you're struggling with ill health. You're living in opposites, but you're living in your mind. Yet, what you create in the mind is not a reality. Even if you change your thoughts from death and disease to life and health, it will improve you, no doubt. But it is not a truth after all. It is only a formulation in your mind, and yet you are living in opposites. You have to discern these things in your mind and know them for what they are. You will see they are opposites. The spirit does not live in opposites. The spirit is the livingness now, the infinite expression in me and you at this very moment, and it is every moment, and it is a living presence. It is not a dead thing in your mind, an idea or a belief. And even if you change from the negative idea of ill health and death to one of life and health, you're only creating a further formulation in your mind. It will undoubtedly improve your health, but at the same time, you have not reached the truth that sets you free of all these things. You can only reach the truth when you have discerned what your mind is made up of. And you will see that health is but an idea. And you will see that your life is but an idea. It is not a living thing. It's just an idea in your mind. The living thing is alive. It is life itself. It's not an idea of life. It is the infinite life that is always present and is the only power that is. It is the ever-present in the individual and is not separated in another. When this is known through experience, and it is not merely an intellectual idea, all fear and sense of right and wrong, all hate, all that frustrates you in the present is dissolved away. This is freedom. To attain freedom, you must see clearly and very definitely what is false, so that it drops away. To discern what is false, you must examine deeply and observe everything that you are doing, thinking and feeling. Out of that, you will not only discover what is false, but out of that will come a new vitality, a new energy, that will make all things new in mind, body, and circumstances. If you conform to a pattern, you will live in limitation. And if your pattern is not unfolding, there is frustration. The infinite mind is complete being now in which there is no limitation, no pattern to fill. This being must be our being. There is none other. There is no pattern to fill, nothing to follow, for that which is now, ever present. I said in the beginning that the present is the only time that is. And I've often spoken to you about this. But I know that the great significance of this truth has not fully dawned upon you. In reality, there is no finite being, as most people think. There is but one being. A finite being is an idea a man has created in his mind. That there's two particular people, God and something else. There is nothing of the sort, and science will prove one day, if they have not proved it already, that there is only one substance underlying all things. There is only one energy in that substance. There is only one intelligence behind all creation. And there can only be one being that is the creator, and there can't be any other. We must tear down our individual existence in the consciousness through discernment of the false. And that which is in the mind which separates us from infinity. In this understanding only lies the purpose of our individual existence. The small I loses itself in the great I am, and I become I am, that I am. The drop becomes the ocean, and there is no separation, no division, and no distinction. In your present personal state, this may seem afar off, but in reality, it is actually a fact now. That is why the present is so important, and not the past or the future. If, then, you can realize the importance of what I am revealing to you, the presence that is eternally present is a living, creativeness. And that must be the creativeness in me and you. If I am talking to you, I've got no idea. I don't make up what I'm going to say to you when I come in here. That would be ridiculous. If I did, I'd make a mess of the whole thing. I would try to think in my mind what I thought I would say. There would be no inspiration at all. There'd be no truth in it. I was just expressing the formulation of my own mind. But if I come in here knowing that the very word will be put into my mouth at that very moment, not wondering what word it will be, then it will be inspiration. Because I know that life created a body, the brain, the nervous system, the mechanism that enables the tongue, the mouth, the lips, the throat to form certain words. These words are the result of certain activities, certain forces that come through the brain to formulate those words. The thoughts then become words. The sound then enters your ears. That sound is carried to your brain. The words are then separated and distinctly apprehended. And you begin to understand my thought, or the thought that comes through my mind. Here is a mechanism created by God, through which that spirit can speak for itself. Therefore, all I have to do is to know that the Father does the work. That is all, no more, no less. You may say it is faith, but what is faith? True faith is not the result of fear. True faith is not the result of the opposite of faith. True faith is understanding. When you thoroughly understand, then there is no fear, because it has gone away. It has passed into oblivion. It does not exist. Then faith is. It doesn't have to be. It is. It's the expression of life itself in its true nature. That is faith. All great things that have ever been done by men were done when only the present existed, with nothing to interrupt the infinite having full expression through the individual. That is in no way separate from the whole. Great things have been done. The greatest men in the world are men who are humble. And the humble are great. You know why? Because by being humble in that way, not a stupid humility, fear and so forth, but humble in the presence of the Almighty. In that way, the Almighty expresses himself through the humble. And what we see before our eyes, the great things that have been built up, industries and so forth, have been brought into being by the intelligence that is working through the brain and the mind that the intelligence has created for that purpose. Your whole being is life's expression. You do not identify yourself with infinite life, for you are infinite life. One person says, "No, I identify myself with God." What a stupid statement. I said, "Well, you were outside God one time or another then, and you now identify yourself with God. You have a wonderful opinion of yourself. You identify yourself with God. When you identify yourself with anything, are you not separate from that thing? When you know you are the expression of that thing, you do not identify yourself with that thing because you know. To identify yourself with infinite life is to put life apart from you. It only becomes an idea, which is not reality. And your identification is but an idea in your mind. And there's no such thing as a real, living, infinite consciousness or awareness. There is but an idea which is made up in the mind. So your identification is but a mental formulation. The Creator and His creation are one. You cannot be separate apart from the whole. Separation only exists in the individual consciousness that is not aware. This is the illusion that causes frustration. This is becoming and not being. While seeking to become, there can never be a cessation of this continuous struggle to become. Living apart from infinity, which is an impossibility, for there is no separation in infinity. But in your mind, you're always trying to become. And naturally, becoming is going away from being. And it's always tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes. You're always becoming, and you are never being. When the eye loses itself in infinity, there is no sorrow, no pain, no past, no future, no good, no evil, no birth, no death. There is only the presence of the omnipresence in spontaneous action. The wall of separation has worn away through the discernment of your own formulations. When this is complete, there is no longer any craving for spiritual or the material, for the scar of individuality in the consciousness has ceased to be. The scar of individuality in the consciousness, that is the cause of all struggle, the cause of all craving, cause of all separate existence, the cause of fear, the cause of hate, the cause of past memories, future hopes, and despair. There can be no perfect action where there is a sense of separation. It is the same mind working through the individual, the same mind that shaped the universe before it came into being. There is no difference in kind or quality, for it is the same, and there can be no other. With this understanding, our thoughts will become the product of that which was in the beginning, and will take form and shape as did the universe. For it is the Father, whoever remains within me, is performing his own deed. As he performs his deeds throughout the universe, he is performing his deeds in me. It's the same Father, the same light, the same Father that was in Jesus, the same Father in me. There cannot be two. There is only one. Our Father who art in heaven. And heaven is within. It is the secret sanctuary of the soul, where life in its wholeness and completeness dwells. It's the Christ, the Spirit of God, manifesting in man. Truly, I tell you, he who listens to my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He will incur no sentence of judgment. He is already passed from death to cross to life. Benediction. O infinite being, I was lost in my finite self, seeking thee afar off. While I was seeking to become, a never-ceasing struggle blinded me to thy presence. I give up the struggle, and O infinite Father of mine, thou revealed to me that we were one. Then thy peace came in me, and in that peace thou didst work in and through me. And as thou didst fashion the universe within thy being, so do thou express thyself in my being. O mighty one, I am no longer afraid, for I see myself as my brother and my sister, for there is but one, and now my joy is complete, O wondrous one.